Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
What does it even matter anymore?
Why do we even bother with this?
It's all a futile exercise. What is this?
And Mr. Pessimist Joe over there is actually Dustin. I don't know why I called you Pessimist Joe.
It seems like a weird Mark Twain thing.
Like he's Pessimist Joe. He's adjective and then his name.
There's Huck Finn and Pessimist Joe.
Pessimist Joe. It's something we can say on the radio and not get fired.
Hey, can I throw this cat in the river? And his dad's like, what does it matter, Tom?
What does it matter? It doesn't matter. Right
what does
there.
It matter,
Nihilist. You're nihilist. We open the whole thing up with the Mario Odyssey theme, I guess. It's from the trailer. I don't know if it's a theme song or not, but it's so catchy.
It is, and it has a music video.
I know.
What a 1990s thing to do.
Have a music video?
Have a music video for the game and the song in your game.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Well, Nintendo, we've talked about it all the time, but Nintendo always does things like that where they do things that are just kind of weird, but totally work. In a strange way, this Cabo thing, this Switch Cabo, the cardboard thing, that's going to be amazing. And I don't care who you are, but people are going to buy that, and it's going to be ridiculous.
It has a level of earnest charm to it.
Yeah, like, aww.
Where it doesn't try, I think because it doesn't like, hey, it's going to be the next big thing. It's like, this is a fun thing to have.
That's all I can do. Aww.
It's not trying to overhype itself.
Come on, Nintendo. We are the tag team, the ragtag duo that brings you geek nerd knowledge every Wednesday night. We didn't do it last week because I think there was a game.
There's been like two games that have kept pushing us.
Yeah. And I mean, that's 'tis the season. That's what we do. We deal with this every year. We've been doing this for like 10 years, and every year it does this. It pushes it around this time.
11 innings was the last one, I think.
11 innings.
Because I worked that game.
Did Southeastern to the Lions?
We did not win.
Well, you know what? We went 11 innings. So
yeah. So we lost held, tired.
We we held ground. And some people maybe got like
it's
a frosty.
It's not the Civil War where there's less people on their team now.
No.
Now those Confederates are. Really whipped them, didn't we, Lee?
I guess we don't have to win. We can just say that it was a war of attrition. Usually every Wednesday night we go ahead and we do this thing, but this is a Wednesday night we're doing it for you. We got some news. We got some critical opinions of one of the hottest games out right now. Let's cut to two songs, come back, talk about what we did last week, which we'll have some. Man, that sigh. I hear that sigh, and I know what that sigh is about. Listeners, you don't even know what we are going to talk about next time. This is Save World, Good Girl by I-Fi Dragons and So Dang Dark by Rhett and Link. We'll come back, we'll tell you what we did, and we'll have some critical opinions that are a far cry away from what you think we're going to have. I'm MG.
And this fleshy prison I inhabit is Dustin.
And this is the Experience Points radio show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
Maybe this isn't such a good idea.
But there's boba on the other side. We gotta ride the tuck.
Ride the tuck for the boba.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points radio show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
That was... I need you to give me a little more energy. That was So Dang Dark.
All right, you two, click smash that bell. Is that what you want, Matt?
I do. That's what I want.
What's the songs?
So Dang Dark by Rhett and Link. This is an abusive relationship if I ever heard one. And then before that, Save World, Get Girl by I-Fi Dragons. So I'm gonna say this. Dustin is acting out the way he is for a few reasons. One, he is from Hawaii. And when you leave Hawaii and you go anywhere else and it isn't, I don't know, cherry blossom Japan or the beautiful Icelandic coast or even the sweet saffron-like mountains of Morocco.
How is Louisiana so close to the ocean but no beaches? It's just all swamp.
It's all swamp.
It's just muddy.
It's just Grand Isle, and the Grand Isle is not very good. But that's not reason. That's not really the reason why you're upset.
I'm also hungry because I lost my debit card, and I couldn't find it, so I haven't been able to eat.
Can you do, like, did you sign up for Topingo yet?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what? I don't want to sell the service, so. But I'll talk to you about it after the fact when you get a new debit card. But that's not the reason you're upset. The reason that you are upset What do you mean you... Hold on. Stop. Pause. What do you mean you're not hungry or you're hungry? We had like crawfish and stuff on campus today.
I know, but the line was too long to get to it. And I got there at 1:15.
Oh, okay.
And I couldn't sit there in line. Okay. I had a class at 2.
Fair point.
And then from there, I had like... someone gave me like, well, I have like Hershey's and an almond. I'm like, yum. Thanks. I'll rub that on my skin.
Was that Strawberry Jubilee, I think?
I don't know.
I think it's Strawberry Jubilee.
I put a condom on a banana.
I don't know what that means.
I mean,
is that a metaphor?
No, I did that. They had like the student advocacy thing.
Oh, it was like the health center.
God, I hope it was.
Okay. Otherwise, it was just these weird people that go around, bring back the hellfire and brimstone Bible mm-hmm. people. Then compared to that, the reason that you're upset, I think I know what it is. Mm-hmm. And I think you should just talk about it. It's an open forum. You should just open up. Because I bet I am upset and frustrated over a similar thing. I hope I'm right on what I think you're upset about. So, do you want to talk about it, Dustin?
So, Far Cry 5.
The latest in the fantastically just massive world, open world, interactive, orgasmic extravaganza that is the first-person experience. That is the meaning of what it is to be a gamer by Ubisoft. That is an Assassin's Creed. That Far Cry 5, that one? The one where it takes you to Hope County, Montana to, throw down? No. I'm just making sure that I got the right game. To throw down against the cult. What's it called? What cult is it called? Eden's Gate. To listen to the scene.
Heaven's Gate was the actual
one. Right.
They killed themselves.
To fight bears and then find a bear that's your friend.
Yeah, Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger the bear, yeah.
Didn't get a chance to use him once.
Okay. Me neither.
I used the cougar named Peaches.
Though. I did not use any of the guns for hire, except the one that you had to use because they said you had to use it.
Okay, well...
Is that the game you're talking about,
that's
though?
The,
all right,
the
that
one.
Came out fairly recently, right?
Yes.
All right, and tell me about your amazing experience with the game.
It's... The game itself, let me tell you gameplay-wise, it's a Far Cry game. It played very well. I enjoyed the gameplay. But it turns out, and we are getting into spoiler territory.
Okay, yeah, so we're going to talk about this for maybe what, 5 to 10 minutes?
Yeah.
So come back in like 5 to 10 minutes if you have not finished the game, or if you don't mind getting spoiled, just stick around. Because we're about to give you the ending.
We're about to give you the ending. Well, there's right. three different endings to this game.
Right.
There's two that are like...
The joke endings.
The joke endings where... One where you don't arrest the main guy and you just walk off.
It's like
off.
In the main... It's the first 5 minutes of the game.
It lacks any of the charm that they did that with Far Cry 4. And,
right. Because four was the first time they had done
they
that.
They did that.
And you could just sit there for like 5 minutes.
And he comes back.
And he's like, oh, you didn't leave. Cool. Let's go ahead and look outside and the end of the game. Incredible.
Yeah. And you just do what you're sent there to do, and that's right. the end of the game. And it's kind of like, you know, silly, kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Right. Now restart the game and skip the cutscene and actually go and do the game.
And then actually do the game. It was just something fun to do. This one lacked any of the charm because you just leave and the main character, the main villain, has no charisma.
No.
So it lacks that charm, but whatever. I did the game, blew up all the stuff, killed all the annoying people.
Blew up the giant statues.
Oh yeah, giant statues that somehow got made.
They got made, and they're very well made. And let's talk about how ridiculous the game is a little bit later.
Right.
Go ahead.
So the ending of this game,
Spoiler alert right now.
As I get to the end of the game, get to the main bad guy, beat him up, we arrest him, and then as we're arresting him, a nuclear explosion goes off. And destroys the world, and it's just me and the main bad guy in a bunker.
Yeah. So it was like a final part of the game is you have to arrest the guy. You get everybody. You get the couple people that you start the game with, like that you've been fighting throughout the entire game to get back.
To rescue. They
and
die.
And then you're in a truck with those people, and of course you're driving because what else would you do? And the bad guy, who's Jason Seed? Joseph Seed. There's Joseph, there's John, there's...
Jacob,
of course, and then Faith, because... Anyway, there's a trend. There's a common theme.
Clearly.
But anyway, so you're in Montana, there's bunkers everywhere. That's one of the fundamental pieces of the game is bunker diving, effectively, and going in and find prepper stashes, and everybody, all of the main bases are either outposts or bunkers. You end up going back to the bunker that you started in, like driving back while the world's on fire and burning, more nuclear bombs are dropping, and you crash the truck. And when you wake up, everybody is dead. that you like have been with the entire game.
Yes.
Except Joseph Seed, who has now drug you into and like, you know, captured you effectively in the first bunker that you were in, killed the guy that the guy that you were like on the radio with all the time, who you never saw past the first part of the game because you never went back to that bunker because there's no reason to.
Right.
And then the game pretty much ends with him sitting there like, you're my friend now. Like, it's you and me riding out the end of the world in a bunker made for two, sort of like nuclear family sort of thing.
Yep.
So.
Let's go over why this is stupid.
Because. Let's take an actual approach of what's in Montana.
Yeah.
What's near Montana?
There ain't nothing. The nuclear war, there's not going to be nukes dropping literally everywhere in every square inch. Is going to be military targets.
Right.
A military target doth not exist in Montana.
Closest one, maybe Cheyenne Mountain, Wyoming?
Maybe.
Maybe, but it's a mountain. You're not going to hurt it with a nuke.
And
I mean, not one.
Even then, the dispersal will be so far.
Yeah.
That'll be just a distant mushroom cloud. So I don't know why this is happening.
Maybe they were bombing. Is Montana close to Canada? That's like on the top border, right?
Ish, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's close to Canada, but why would anyone bomb Canada?
Yeah, there's no military reason to do this. Second thing is, where did this come from all of a sudden? There was never any... thing.
There were.
Oh,
there
yeah.
Were. There
I
were.
Know the radio broadcast that no one heard.
The radio broadcast. I heard these, and this isn't like a conspiracy theory, which is ironic in this game because it's like full of like crazy, like right wing like conspiracy theories, like, you know, preppers, they're going to take our guns type conspiracies. But this is, anyone political, like, just understand, play the game and you'll get it. So there were radio broadcasts that the entire time I had assumed was cult members hijacking radios. That's what I thought it was. So I didn't pay much mind. I did listen though because it was talking about how like we haven't heard anything from like England, we haven't heard anything from Korea. This is Russia's radio silent. That we haven't heard anything from these other countries that would all not England but all gang up against us. So I assumed that was the cult, because in the entire game, there's this idea that the cult is
jamming the radios.
Is jamming the radios, jamming, like, there's no cell phone signal.
Right.
And of course, we're flying into this place where no one brought a sat phone.
Of course.
Because whatever. And we've got radio technology to broadcast, but we can't broadcast a help.
But we apparently you can get a signal from international news.
Right. And everyone's got planes. But you can't fly out of there. No one's flying out of there, except there's one mission where maybe some people flew out of there. No one's going to get help. You were the only person. And when a U.S. Marshal doesn't report back in for apparently weeks, like this takes place over weeks or at least
days,
8 weeks.
Yeah.
No one – well, like because at several there's a gameplay mechanic that I hate that games do. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it just isn't very realistic. I know it's a game. It's a Far Cry game. It's not supposed to be realistic. But this kind of jumped the shark real hard.
This was,
and it was at the tail end of like a game where if the good guys would have just won and taken this guy in, then you would have felt good. It would have been sort of a deadpan ending where it's like, yep, we got the bad guy. Hoorah. You know, it would have been a good job, Brooke. You know, it would have been a pat on the back.
At least I would have accomplished something.
Yeah, but it feels like nothing in this game mattered. Like nothing that you did. Everybody that
dies
was,
and blows up.
Yeah, everybody that you helped, all the liberated outposts and everything,
don't matter.
Were for naught because there's nothing left at the end of this.
I don't feel bad about killing civilians anymore. Didn't matter.
That's the thing. Like, it's like, you shouldn't shoot civilians. I'm like, well, you know, the world was going to end regardless.
Why not, game? You blow them up.
Right.
Hypocrite.
I just don't understand why you would drop several nuclear bombs in Hope County, Montana. There was nothing there.
There was.
Initially, I thought maybe the cultists had a nuke.
Right.
And there was
was never established.
There was like a dead man switch. Like maybe Joseph Seed, whenever he's coming out towards the end game.
He
flips a switch and he's like, if I don't flip this switch in like 5 minutes of me talking and giving them a choice to arrest me or not, trying to drop some bombs.
And that was never done.
That was, that, no, that wasn't. That,
the, it's just by happenstance this happened.
Right.
And it's just like,
and he's like,
ludicrous.
I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was true, you know, and and everyone's like, he was right. Of course, they're eating into it, buying into it. It's just,
it's ridiculous.
It's one of those things where I'm glad that the DLC doesn't have anything to do with the main campaign.
Yeah.
Because the main campaign, for all the good stuff the game got right and did well, the engine was well done. You know what? There was glitches. There were a lot of glitches
in
this game.
There were a couple of glitches, yeah.
I played on PC. I think you played on PC as well.
Yes.
There were some glitches. There were some weird things. The AI wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. There was an issue where towards the end when you have to kind of like be the gunner in one of those stupid you're not driving segments, there was an issue where the bartender lady mm-hmm. would like exist, like get spawned in at the opposite end of the town.
Oh, really?
Of Eden's Fall or whatever.
So you gotta wait.
Yeah, you have to wait for them to like call or falls in. She'd have to like run, but then the mission would time out before she would get there.
Oh, God.
So there was this really cool like hack someone found where you could shoot her and it would glitch her into another animation so she'd just run faster.
There also was a whole lot of enemy variation.
Mm. There were like four enemies. There was like an archer, a heavy, a light, and then like a zombie.
A dog.
And a dog. Yeah.
And a dog. And then the weird zombie things, which were neat. But I mean, it's fine. You got the helicopters and the airplanes and all stuff. Yeah. So it ended up being, you know, like, but there wasn't anything I really needed to go other than, oh yeah, just shoot it.
Well, and once you got a helicopter, liberating outposts was super easy.
Oh, yeah.
I think I may replay the game on, like, super hard mode just to see how hard it can be. It felt too easy for me. I felt it artificially lengthened because originally they were like, the people over at Ubisoft were like, it'll take you, like, 25 hours to complete the main storyline. And I'm like, okay, 25 hours is worth my time. Like, playing a 25-hour first-person shooter that isn't, like, Destiny or something. Okay, Destiny notwithstanding, you know, that was a good number for me.
Yeah,
I did not play for 25 hours. Mm-hmm. I played significantly shorter, and I felt that even then that was artificially lengthened because Far Cry followed the rules of three.
Everything, three regions.
Everything was done in threes. There were three regions. There were like three main segments in each region, sort of like three waypoints that you'd hit where three story events would happen in each region. Mm-hmm. And every region was exactly the same. You would start up, and the geography was different, and the vehicles were different. There was a region where it was primarily like wide open, flyover country, and it would be better if you used airplanes. There was another region where it was helicopters because that's where the helicopter chick was. Mm-hmm. And then there was another region where it was better to just have cars because that's where all of the Nitro Joe or whatever was from. Clint Nitro or...
Yeah.
But anyway, the every region followed this formula, like the same formula.
Right.
And it just bothered me because I already did this once. I did a bunch of side questy things or main questy things to get to the first bubble, and then I get captured by whoever's region I'm in.
They always do that.
Then it's like you can't escape it. Mm-hmm. And then you somehow get out by doing something, and then you go through and you do another set of side missions until you get to the next bubble. And everything contributes to the bubbles. Everything contributes to those waypoints in the mission. And then, you know, you do that two or three more times, and then you always get captured a final time. You find a way to work your way to where you fight and kill whoever the region boss is, and then you have to do some little addendum mission at the end of it, and then you liberate that area. Mm-hmm. And that was fine the first time. But it felt samey. It felt samey to every other mission, the other two-thirds
of the
game. By the
time I got to the most northern one, Jacob, I was like, this is...
That's the thing. I did Faith, I did Jacob, and then I did John.
Because when you've done that trick twice...
It was so boring.
I'm like, I know what's coming, so I'm not shocked by anything anymore.
It was... I don't know. I didn't feel like it... I felt legitimately like Far Cry 3 was a cut above the rest. Everyone compares it to Far Cry 3. Mm. I thought Far Cry 4 was really good. I enjoyed the settings in, I think it was Nepal. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that.
Karat was the
Karat, name. Yeah.
It was like Nepalese.
Right. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. I felt like this was so... I felt like having it somewhere that wasn't America... Mm-hmm. What gave it the ability, like this air of...
you could see, like, if it was third world or why they wouldn't have this infrastructure to do something.
Right. Having it in middle of rural America, one, you play off so many stereotypes and cliches that it's frustrating to an American audience. I'm sure that if someone from...
It was like characters.
Like an Asian country or something or from a tropical country or whatever, that if they played Far Cry 3 or 4 respectively, then they are 4 or 3 respectively. Like, maybe they're just like, yeah, that's a stereotype. That kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're both American. We can play the Far Cry 5, and it's just a bunch of tongue-in-cheek American nuance references. And then, but you know.
Right. It's kind of making fun of ourselves a little bit.
Yeah. And it's all fun. It's all a game.
Right.
So we can't be too analytical over it. I feel like it's... You know what you're getting. It's a Far Cry game. It's supposed to be out the engine. I actually have been replaying Far Cry 2, and I've been loving it.
Oh, yeah.
And I realized Far Cry 2 has done significantly more in ways of detail work and engine work than Far Cry 5 has in it.
Yeah.
You can shoot through, like, tin and like, really light metal,
yeah.
and that'll shoot people. The fire mechanic in 2 was, like, the biggest, coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
5 looks pretty, but not it doesn't play very well in comparison to all the detail work that 2 has.
Right.
I would recommend anyone listening to this that's still, you know, like, still listening, go and play Far Cry 2 again. It's affordable. It yeah. runs very well. It was the first, it was when Ubisoft acquired it.
Right.
And it was, you know, I think it was the Dunai engine. So it was their first one with the Dunai engine. Mm-hmm. Far Cry originally was by Crytek, and it was using the Crysis engine. Or the CryEngine 1, I think.
Yeah.
And I really love that game, but it's, you know, it's hard to play that game because it's so cheesy.
Yeah, that's a very
it's
cheesy
It's 80s
one.
Action. It's Far Cry 3 yeah, Blood Dragon.
Yeah, apparently you get superpowers in the Xbox version.
Yeah, yeah.
Far Cry Primal.
Yeah, that's really dumb.
It's really weird.
It's effectively Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, but not intended to be that way. So.
Yeah, Blood Dragon was fun, though.
I really like Blood Dragon.
But, yeah, having an ending like that, like, totally...
It bummed me out, man. I'm not going to lie. It happened, and I was like, no. This is like... The credits are going to scroll through, and then midway they're going to stop. And it's going to be like, wait, I don't remember that. That's not how it happened.
Kind of like Batman thing.
Yeah, yeah, or Mafia 3, where it's just like, what? This doesn't make any sense. Hold on. That's not how that happened. Yeah. And it rolls back or whatever. Or it's maybe like you're recounting something, or maybe there's some post-game where you break out of the bunker. And that could always be a thing where now it's like post-apocalyptic.
I guess, but if that's what they're going to go for. But, I mean, like, if you're going to go Far Cry in the post-apocalypse and everything like that, you got a lot of room to do some crazy stuff when.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a very grounded Far Cry then. Make it weird,
yeah.
you know? Make it weird and make it so where, like, oh, I can't just shoot at this guy. I kind of
Don't do Metal Gear Survive, though. Don't make it that weird.
No, don't make it that
don't
weird.
Don't just say, hey, we're going to milk the franchise. We have the engine. Let's do it.
No, like, talk about weirdness. Anyway, but there was another game I got for $2.
What'd you get?
Well, I bought 2, but I haven't played the other one yet. The first one we bought, me and Miranda played this together, was Mother Simulator.
Oh, joy.
And I had a blast. I was laughing so hard.
Are you,
at this
you
game.
A mama now?
Yes. I took a diaper and threw it at the baby, and it's hilarious.
Okay.
So
is this like Surgeon Simulator?
It's okay. A lot like Surgeon Simulator, where it's just these insane challenges. And. Like, you got to chuck the diaper across the room into the basketball goal and you get more time, and then there's poop everywhere.
Nice.
When you miss, it's hilarious. You're throwing robot babies in a basketball goal.
This is like those games like I Am Bread.
Oh, yeah, Mother Simulator. It's very much in the same gambit. And then there's...
What, Octodad? Like, just awkward games that are, like, built in... It seems like they're built in 24 hours or something.
Yeah.
Some, like, game jam.
Hand Simulator was the other one I bought. Yep. I have not tried it yet.
There's one called Receiver where it's you, like, dealing with a gun, but every part of the gun is, like, very... modeled very appropriately, so you have to, like, put the clip in,
uh-huh.
and then you have to, like, rack it back, and it's, like, it's a VR game, I think.
Uh-huh.
And everything about the game, the thing, like, if you move your hand the wrong way, your clip falls out, and you're like, dang it, you know? You gotta...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's hilarious.
Well, cool. So you're a mom now.
I'm a single mother.
And it's for 2 days, or $2, rather.
$2. Okay. It's to have, if you want to have a fun time just with a goofy game, you can do a lot worse for this than for $2.
Mother,
you're going to write that down.
Sim you later.
So what did you do other than when did you finish Far Cry?
I finished it probably...
You finished it like a full week before I did.
Yeah. It was about a week before you did. So I guess maybe like 5 days after it came out, after it released, I couldn't sleep one night, and I just got up at like 2 a.m. and powered through the last bit. And when it happened, it's like the sun's dawning. I'm like, it's not worth it. You know, it's not.
What
worth
a
it.
Moment! Just like with you, just like looking out at the window as the sun rose.
I have what did I do? So I have been playing a little bit of Stardew Valley. Chipping away at Stardew Valley because multiplayer apparently is coming out very, very soon.
What?
Yeah, I didn't know if you knew that.
Oh, my gosh.
But it'll probably start on PC and then maybe go to the Switch.
Oh, my God.
It's I love Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley has, like, a very special mnemonic in my life. Like, I'll always remember I got flooded. I was going through a pretty rough, like, emotional time near the divorce. And I found Stardew Valley. And the very... start cinematic of Stardew Valley is very, it like resonates with me. I'm feeling, I got the butterflies. I got the butterflies.
Stardew Valley is a warm cup of tea
game. It's such a good game. So I started playing that again.
I played it to death when I worked here.
You don't look very dead.
I look good for
or is
a
the
dead
game
person.
Dead?
When I worked here, I put like, I mean, like every free moment was Stardew Valley. I had to get the grapes and turn them into the jelly and the wine. I had like a whole system where I was making a lot of bank. So when I went out and got a lady, I'm like, look,
I got a lot of money.
I got money. Okay.
My farm ain't looking so good, but you know.
Oh, that farm was. It's mostly.
My farm was lit. I had.
It was cranberries.
Okay.
Cranberries, I would convert it to jam or wine.
All right.
And grapes.
Did you play like Animal Crossing or anything growing up? Or?
No, I hated Animal Crossing. Didn't
or
like
Harvest Moon, rather.
Harvest Moon, sorry, I like. That's what I was Harvest thinking. Moon, I like. Yep. I like growing. And I also downloaded Farm Simulator on the Xbox because it was on the Gold Pass.
I have played Farm Simulator, and I just
oh,
like,
sweet.
I get in the truck, like the starter truck, and I like drive to town, and I realize how bad the physics are with driving the truck, but how good the physics are with like driving a combine. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I played a little bit of Stardew Valley. I've actually been, so I'm getting married in October, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to sell my house, and so there's a lot of real estate work going back and forth where
right.
we go and look at my fiance and I go and look at houses, and then we also kind of have to deal with the reality of like she owns a house, I own a house, and then we can't buy a more expensive house than both what we both have while we still own those homes. So I'm going to put mine up for sale because mine's more ready to sell
right.
than hers.
Is she going to eventually put hers up for sale?
Yeah. We got to do a couple repairs on it, and she has like two roommates. I only have one. So I mean, there's a lot of like moving pieces to it, and then like work. So I haven't really played a ton of games. I played Stardew Valley a lot. I beat Far Cry 5. I feel like there is another game. I tried picking up Nier Automata, and it's just so like complicated. And then weird, and then it's just like I play a little bit of it, and I go, "What was I doing in this game? It doesn't even matter."
As I was playing it, I had that sensation of, "Am I doing this right?"
Yeah, like I feel like I'm lost in the game. Mm-hmm. I need to get back to Horizon Zero Dawn, but what I think I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to like box everything up so I can get ready to list my house and sell my house, and I need to. Sorry about that. My phone is losing its mind, but I have a Mario ringtone.
That was nice.
The I don't know, it's silent mode. I'm on now.
I took a little after Far Cry. I literally, because I was playing so much. The other game I was playing so much was Ultimate General Civil War.
Okay.
Because I love strategy games and stuff like that, and I love that time period of the Civil. No, I love it. Like, what a great thing! But like, it's very interesting.
Right. It's good that it's good that we got past it.
Right.
You know.
And
sort of.
But. So I was playing that, and I was absolutely. I finished it as a Union, and then I played again as a Confederacy.
Nice.
So
nice.
I did.
Did you win as
a
Confederacy?
I did win as a Confederacy. It was very difficult to win as a Confederacy, but the Union.
Were you Matthew Broderick?
In glory. No, I was.
Or were you?
I was Martin Sheen in Gettysburg.
Were you? Were you Wesley from Princess Bride? I think he was in that movie too, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, he totally
was. Yeah, he was.
That's the best Civil War movie, by the way.
That's a really good one.
I've seen a bunch of them, and I think that's still number one.
Oh okay.
See, because I've seen Gettysburg. Gods and Generals a long time ago if you want to waste 4 hours of your time. Because every other line is like, by the Lord God wills it, and by his righteous path may it be done. Like every scene.
I love how your voice just did that peak.
Yeah. I got my hands in the air. Just
I know,
so
you can't
knows.
See it. These microphones don't capture
every
video.
Ted, my uncle already did an impression of that after we watched it, and we were laughing so hard because we were just like, oh, we're done with this. But Glory is still the best, I think.
I've watched it a couple times. I enjoyed it. This took a turn on the show.
Yes, it did. But okay.
We are going to cut to a song. We'll come back, talk about some of our other news that
some
we have.
News.
This is Annihilation of Monsteropolis by the Megas. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show, exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU. It did help to get that out.
I know.
I feel good-ish.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I am MG.
I am Dustin.
You just heard the annihilation of Monsteropolis by the Megas. We're running out of time, so it's going to be rapid fire.
Yeah.
The news. So
number one.
A while back, we talked about
Billy Mitchell.
It was Todd Rogers, I think, at the time, who was doing the Shifter, what's it called? The racing game. I can't remember for Atari.
Oh, yeah.
His score went kind of up for debate whether or not he did a good job or he was doing that legitimately or whatever. Maybe he was lying or maybe he was trying to fake it or doing an emulator. What they actually did is they took the ROM and they decompiled it, and then they tried to mathematically, like programmatically, do the fastest shifting time for this drag racer, I think it was. They were trying to put in the fastest possible key combinations. And they found out that even with programmatically the perfect game, you couldn't achieve the score that he achieved.
Right, so they figured found out he was cheating.
They had to do that. So Todd Rogers was one of them. He was an old judge at Twin Galaxies. Twin Galaxies being the company that sort of holds on to all these high scores. They're the definitive. That's what Guinness looks at. They say, hey, right. Whenever Guinness is going to do a record thing, they look at Twin Galaxies. So at that point, we talked about another really big name that has kind of been under fire. His name is Billy Mitchell. He owns, I think, a restaurant. He has some hot sauce that he makes or whatever. And he owns a restaurant in somewhere. I can't remember.
Well, those are three random facts about a person.
Those are. He always wears American flag ties, like super patriotic ties. And he's got this mulleted sort of not a mulleted hair. I mean, but is that a mullet? What is that? It's like long hair, short in the front, part
this
in the back.
Is why you need to make sure you don't just hit him random on character generator.
Yeah, yeah.
This is
in fact, Regular
time.
Show actually did a caricature of him, and he sued Regular Show, and of course he didn't win because
of course not because fair use of
it's
parody.
It's just ridiculous. But Billy Mitchell held the highest Pac-Man score and the Donkey Kong score several years running. He has tons, or he had rather, spoiler. He had tons of scores in Twin Galaxies and in Guinness. And then a while back, I want to say in early March, really in February, I think February 5th,
somebody noticed the frames of the system were not.
He posted a video. Uh-huh. The official video for some Donkey Kong or Donkey Kong Jr. Arcade, apparently a legitimate arcade. And someone analyzed it and noticed that the screen is painted on the arcade a certain way, but it's not painted on the MAME, which is an emulator, the same way. It's one is a sweeping motion, and the other is to sort of paint individual blocks one by one.
Right.
And it's very noticeable if you know what you're looking for, if you slow the video down. And Billy Mitchell didn't really know how to reply to that, so he was like, look, the video's out there. We're going to show you the video. It's going to be whatever. Twin Galaxies has recently, in March 12th, or April 12th, excuse me, removed all of Billy Mitchell's high scores.
Whoa.
It was completely removed, and we didn't get to talk about it last week because we weren't here.
Right.
But they removed all of his high scores. And then the next linear step, Guinness removed all of his high scores.
Whoa.
And this is pretty awesome because it's finally giving some credit where credit is due. Steve Wiebe, the guy from King of Kong, the underdog of King of Kong.
Is he the number one?
He's number one he was the first. And since King of Kong, like the record's gone back and forth for Donkey Kong. But it is ridiculous. Billy Mitchell, this past Sunday, issued sort of a statement around his disqualified record. So he's he's on a he's on the advisory board for this magazine called Old School Gamer Magazine. And to Old School Gamer, again, the magazine he's on the board, the advisory board of, he had this statement prepared, and it was a video. He says, quote, "I've been asked to address things that are recently in the media. The fact of the matter is, now there's a true professional due diligence being done to investigate things that happened as far as 35 years ago. In a professional manager, not in a shock jock mentality designed to create hits. We will show that everything that has been done, everything has been was done professionally. According to the rules, according to the scoreboard, the integrity that was set up, not 2014 forward by the current regime, who wants to reach back 35 years. Everything will be transparent. Everything will be available. I wish I had it in my hands right now. I wish I could hand it to you, but it's taken a considerable amount of time. Witnesses, documents, Everything will be made available to you. Nothing will be withheld. You absolutely have my commitment to that. We've been at this since 1982, and it's not going to stop now. End quote.
And that's Billy Mitchell.
That's Billy Mitchell specifically. Now, it seems like a written sort of thing, and I say it's written and rehearsed because whenever he's delivering these lines, he's not stuttering, putting verbal fillers in like
right.
I was just now. It's sort of a weird... It's a prepared statement he did. It is a prepared statement. I saw how Billy Mitchell was in King of Kong, and I think every documentary has an angle to play.
Yeah, did they paint him as the villain?
They painted him as the antagonist of the entire thing, and I don't know if that's true or not, but he definitely was acting shifty, and it's very easy to portray him as the antagonist. But this sort of comes out as just, you know, him and Todd Rogers were like buddies. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of really weird... This also highlights something for Twin Galaxies, that if you were in sort of the close-knit club of Twin Galaxies...
You couldn't be touched.
You couldn't be touched, and they would go to bat and defend you. And I think that's great for friends, you know? Like, you're not going to talk about my friend like that. I know he's a cool guy. Well, he did a dumb thing, but he's still a cool guy, and he's my friend. I'm going to fight you over him. That is more like a high school or a middle school sort
this
of...
This kind
of
goes against that, good.
This goes against that. And Twin Galaxies, you know, they weren't willing to really do anything early on, but after some pretty damning evidence came to light, they went and they pulled his records.
Once you have the evidence, I mean, like, it's... And that's the thing.
Banned him. I think they banned him as well.
And the irony is he never talks about, in that statement he talks about, okay, but why were the frames like that then?
In a previous statement, he did address it. He said that, you know, I'm not disputing the video that the guy is looking at as being MAME. It probably is MAME, but that's not he wasn't saying that wasn't the video that I gave. That wasn't the video that was the record. He wasn't saying anything like that, like definitively like that wasn't it. It almost seemed, and again, this is like kind of my interpretation of what he was saying, but he didn't say anything definitive. He seemed to be saying that he's not going to say that that's not MAME because he knows that it is. He can't dispute that, but that doesn't mean that he didn't set the world record. There's a video that exists, but he doesn't have it, and he wishes that he could have.
But those are two very different systems, and that doesn't put you on the same playing field as somebody
else.
He's
not saying that he used MAME. He's saying that the video that's being disputed is MAME. That was what
he
was saying.
He presented as evidence.
But then he's not owning up that he presented that for evidence.
Oh,
he's saying
God
that a video surfaced, and he's not going to claim that video. He's seemingly contradicting himself. So he's doing a lot of double talk here.
It's like, that's the thing you want to sit down with. Is that yours, yes or no?
Right.
Why would you care if it wasn't?
There was a podcast that he did fairly recently, and... In between February 5th, I think, was when the video started getting started getting looked at, and now, and he went on there and he was answering questions. I'm going to try to pull up the exact wording of it, but the way that he was wording these answers to these questions were really, it was strange. Give me a minute. So, I mean, I'm happy that, I'm happy that this guy is finally sort of getting under the microscope a little bit. And it was the East Side Dave show. Mm-hmm. So the East Side Dave show is interesting. Oh, here's interesting. So apparently Steve Wiebe, the guy from King of Kong, has spoken out recently, on the 13th of April. So he says, "I'm not the champ anymore, but getting recognition for being the first to a million is a great consolation. That's what I was really bummed about 11 years ago. So 11 years ago in King of Kong, and again, it's a good documentary. I would recommend watching it, especially now that it's current and relevant again. He wanted to be the first to get a million, and Billy Mitchell beat him to a million, but he actually didn't because we can't believe anything Billy Mitchell says now.
Right.
So it's a good consolation, but they don't hold that. Like, King of Kong's been... Right. After that that documentary, everyone started playing Donkey Kong again in an arcade fashion,
right.
And it was sort of like a renaissance or a revival of arcades enough to beat out that anyway.
Right. Go ahead. It's one of those things. It's like the double talk is not helping you. You not giving us definitive makes me very suspicious. I hate that. Is that from you? Well, I'm not saying it's not. But it's like when Pinocchio was asked where Shrek was. You know, he's like, I don't know where he isn't, but I can't say for like, that's like, it's like, okay, well, I'm just going to assume that you did it then.
Yeah.
Because
it's,
and not be whatever. It's like, because it would have been like, if it wasn't a video, if it wasn't him, it would be simple as saying, that's not my video.
Right.
So I don't know what the deal is. And Twin Galaxies would be like, that's not his video. And then that would have been the end of it. But apparently that's not the case. But the fact that he never addresses that in his statement is...
In fact, on East Side Dave, he specifically says, this is Billy Mitchell, I've never even played MAME. I don't have MAME loaded in my home.
But then he says,
the film footage that he has, that Jeremy has, shows MAME play. Now, I contend that if he gets the original tape or he gets the original room shot, he will see that what I say is true. I'm not disputing what he says. What I'm disputing is the fact that
You are disputing what he says, though.
He says, what I'm disputing is the fact that I want him to have the original tape. And the fact of the matter is that the original footage was given to Twin Galaxies. Twin Galaxies has it or should have it. And if it's anywhere other than Twin Galaxies, that's a real problem. That was specifically what he said on East Side Dave.
Okay. So Twin Galaxies looked at it.
Apparently, long time ago, but then Twin Galaxies doesn't have it. It's the same thing with Todd Rogers saying that he did good in Drag Racer or whatever, that Atari should have it. Atari's like, we don't have it. Like, we've been under as a company, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
So, all right. It is strange.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the other story I have, and we're getting low on time, so I'm going to blast through this topic real quick. So there was this group. They're not a group anymore. They were called... Bully Hunters.
Yes.
And I think you know about this story. I'm sure you do. It was a brainchild of a Chicago marketing thing. Mm-hmm. The idea behind it was that people who get sexually harassed in video games, mostly females, this group would friend you on Steam. They would come and join your game, whatever, and they, you know, kind of put these people in
their
place.
Yeah, they harass them. They do the opposite.
Harass
they bully
them
the
back. It's ridiculous. It's the worst way to go about anything like that.
Yep.
So they did a stream, as they said, right. Matt raised his eyebrows up. This stream they did was not a stream. Most of this was pre-recorded. Mm. And these...
Gotta get them hits.
Yeah, gotta get them hits. And these Steam profiles were made, just so happened to be made with no profile information, just a couple of days before the event. And there were a lot of people calling out. And that while they were doing it, the stream was supposed to last an hour, lasted about 35 minutes because people spotted it immediately. Yep.
Never underestimate the power and the intelligence and the investigation of the internet.
Uh-huh. And the person who did this was someone named Zombie Unicorn. And this is the name of Twitter. And based on how she handled people on her Twitter, this person is a bully. And she is a jerk because she was asking – because they throw out these statistics that are completely fake or are unsubstantiated. They quote it – and this is a quote, direct quote, that 21 million female gamers have experienced sex-based taunting, harassment, or threats while playing video games online. Now, me and you both think the same thing. What the heck is your source for that?
Yep. Are you just asking 21 million people or
mm-hmm. – Right. They link it to the study when they said that, but it says that – the study only concluded that 63% of women in an 874-person survey claimed to have experienced sexual harassment online.
Didn't they? That is
not 21 million
people. What do they do? They multiply that times, you know, they figured out the proportionality of how many people are in the world that are female and that are in the age range to play games.
I guess that's what they did. But
they just kind of extrapolated it.
Mm-hmm. And the immediately...
They did some of my math. That's what they did. That's how they did that.
Yeah. And
they got me to do it.
The whole thing disintegrated because people, she would block people. She would call them idiots. She would call them just names I cannot say on air.
Right.
But, and we're out of time right now. But
it's ridiculous. I feel like that has room for like a separate little mini cast because it's
so dishonest.
It is. And it sucks because there are people out there that legitimately get bullied. In my thesis on cyberbullying, and it's ridiculous, but there's actual statistics out there, and they're probably not that large.
They're not. No, it was an exaggeration to try to make this, and it was a marketing thing done with SteelSeries as well.
Let's see how that develops, and let's try to talk about that. Next week.
There's not going to be much developed since Bully Hunter is gone now.
No,
they disintegrated.
You never know. Logan Paul came back.
Lord.
Thank you for hanging out with us. We are out of time. We have a website, exppoints.com. Double tap the P. I am working on the backlog. We are doing stuff. We're going to start doing things.
Dad's going to pick you up.
I promise. One day. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
We will do this next Wednesday. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is GWK Culture is Dead by Kirby Crackle. I guess everybody just have a great night. Thanks for hanging out again.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We will see you next Wednesday. Bye.
Bye.
I guess you've been listening to this exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU. I forgot too. I was like, oh, bye. See you. Bye.